Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human race forward. While some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Just Getting By, episode 28, for Monday, the 10th of October, 2011. I am Craig Jones, and I am joined, as always, by Chemslave. Hello, Chemslave.
Howdy, Craig.
How are you doing today?
It's just another day. Don't have to go to work today, which is great.
Really? Why is that?
It's Columbus Day.
You have off for Columbus Day?
Don't you?
No, I don't. I'm a student, though, but still, it's a state school. No, we don't have off for Columbus Day. What a bunch of crap. Oh, my God. Working for the state or federal government has to be one of the best jobs on the planet. To get off days like Columbus Day of all. Oh, my God. Wow. All right, well, I'm just ragging on you. Any day that you can avoid going into work is a good day.
Yes.
Now, Chemslave, we typically will do technology stories on Friday. It's not solely a technology show necessarily. It can be, but we have a story for today that transcends technology.
Oh no! What happened?
Don't be a smartass.
I'm sorry.
The story of. In some ways, I don't think it's hyperbole to say maybe the story of the decade is the passing of Steve Jobs last week. This is the first day that we are recording that we can comment on it. And I thought it would be important to dedicate the show, at least one show, it will be one show, to briefly discussing... really discussing what he meant to Chemslave and myself, and how he changed our lives and the lives of so many other people around us. So anybody listening to this will know that he passed away sometime early Tuesday. We don't know what the cause is. It has not been officially disclosed. But it seems very likely that it would be complications from his pancreatic cancer that he's been fighting for about 7, 8 years now. And I don't know about you, Chemslave, but I think I will always know where I was when I looked on my iPhone, no less, at the news headlines, and I saw that Steve Jobs had passed away. I've heard some people compare it to earlier generations knowing, where they were when John Lennon was assassinated, or when JFK was assassinated. It's just something that shocking, that culturally important. It is... it's almost indescribable to enunciate, to say just how potent that feeling of loss was. And I hadn't even met the man. And what do you think? What was your reaction when you found out that he had passed away?
Well, it's sad to say, I was actually playing a video game, Harry Potter, and I was like, I need a break, so I started reading news stories. So I was like, Steve Jobs is dead. It's like, what the? Has someone hacked the tech sites and posted this crap? So when the other side was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It was a sad time.
Yeah. You know,
it freaked me out.
Yeah, I think it freaked a lot of people out. A lot of people got choked up. A lot of people got kind of misty-eyed, myself included. You definitely... I have never seen such uniformity of coverage across all media outlets, both technology and mainstream, in regards to discussing the man himself. His legacy is so enshrined almost in our cultural DNA with the use of iPhones and iPods and Apple's media campaigns. It was astounding to see people from CNN and MSNBC and Fox News saying the same sorts of things that you were seeing on the websites. And also, I want to really call out Leo Laporte's Twit network. The second he heard that Steve Jobs had passed away, he went into breaking news for the rest of the evening. It ended up being about 6 hours of breaking news coverage, and it might have been the best moment of his technology news network, Twit. I was deeply impressed by his coverage, and it was a pinnacle of technology coverage and just the way it should have been. And mainstream media also paid him the appropriate level of homage. What did you think about the press? Did you think it was too worshipful, or do you think it was appropriate?
I'm on the fence on this. Like CNET or stuff like that, I've seen probably like dozens of posts, like every so many like hours being posted on the thing. But truthfully, well, I would love to excoriate the news and say, oh man, these guys are just total douche nozzles. They are just worshipping the guy. Truthfully, the guy did change, like, Steve Jobs did change the technology world. He did change the world we live in today. You can't, maybe at some point it might be a bit too worshipful, but I don't see it at this point.
Neither do I. And it's important to say that Steve Jobs did not just revolutionize the cell phone industry. He did not just revolutionize the music industry with the iTunes Music Store and the iPod. He did not just revolutionize the computer animation movie industry with Pixar. He did not just revolutionize the computer industry with the Macintosh and the Apple II. It was success after success after success, literally after success. And people who do want to criticize the man always say that he didn't invent any of that stuff. But that misses the point. Steve Jobs was not in a technology lab soldering chips together and drawing up mock prototypes. He wasn't doing that. But he was involved so heavily at every possible conceivable stage of production. He really did end up being the guiding force, the intellectual, guiding light of these various products, especially the Macintosh, especially the iPod, especially the iPhone and the iPad. Steve Jobs has over 300 patents to his name. That came out after he resigned as CEO. And several dozen of them, he is listed as the lead patent holder. Now, this isn't a law podcast, but I will say that it is extraordinarily dangerous to just randomly put people on patents. And if they really did not have any involvement or little involvement, their inclusion could invalidate those patents. So Apple would never have put him on those patents if he personally did not deserve them. And he is really the only tech CEO really in the modern age to have so many patents attached to him. He puts Larry and Sergey Brin, I always want to think they're brothers. Larry Page and Sergey Brin, they only have a couple dozen. Eric Schmidt had a few. Bill Gates has a few. But, you know, just looking at Steve Jobs' patents, it's obvious that he was very heavily involved in the technical process of making these products. He would approve designs for cases, for gadgets. He would approve user interfaces. He would approve things down to the color of the second O in Google's third-party application. His attention to detail was astounding. And I agree with you, coming back to the point. I don't believe it was hagiographic. I don't believe it was overblown, the media coverage of him. His influence pervades all of modern existence, at least in the Western world. The very idea that electronic devices can augment your life and be accessible to everybody from a little boy or little girl up through to an old lady, an old man, is a Steve Jobs idea. That was Steve Jobs' vision, that technology would be there to augment our lives, to make our lives easier, and to be as out of the way as possible, as good an experience as possible. And I think it is the best testament to his life to say that he achieved that. Say what you will about Apple products. Say that they are too overly designed, or they don't do enough for you, they're too limited. But the Apple products have a cohesive feel. It is almost like a soul in these products. Everything, you know, one of my favorite examples of this is I had the original unibody MacBook. It was a MacBook that looks just like the 13-inch MacBook Pro now today, except for the fact that on the bottom, you could pop off this latch and it would have a removable battery. Even the battery, ChemSlave, even the battery was designed right down to the T. It was the most beautiful laptop battery I've ever seen in my life. It was thin. It was this very light gray aluminum looking encasing. It was astounding. And if you ever have the opportunity to look inside a Mac Pro, the Tower Macintosh, the Pro series of desktop Macs, that is engineering perfection with the way they have managed to hide away the cables and have the hard drive bays. And it's just, it is unbelievable that...
I always wanted one like that.
It is unbelievable, ChemSlave. You really ought to go and, or you know, everybody listening should go and just take a look at YouTube videos about unboxings of various Apple products. And anybody who has used an Apple product will know what I'm talking about this feeling of soul, this feeling of a cohesive experience. And that is the enduring legacy of Steve Jobs. No Windows product will have that. It's not necessarily a fault of Windows. Microsoft only makes the software, for the most part. And they have a totally different philosophy on, you know, on doing business. But when you deal with Apple, you deal with a singular vision for how people should be able to live their lives augmented by technology. But the beauty of it is, technology is such a vast word. It's not just computers. It's not just the iPhone. but it's music and movies and, you know, content creation, like iMovie and GarageBand. It's being able to communicate, seeing somebody face-to-face across the country or across the world at the tap of a finger. That is the true legacy of Steve Jobs, and it is a legacy that I truly feel is going to live on quite nicely for the foreseeable future in Apple.
Talking about the touch, have you watched the him introducing the keynote where he introduces the iPhone?
Yes, I have. Several times, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, that is a really great keynote.
It is. That is probably the best keynote he ever gave. You could tell that he was making history. You could tell he was just bursting at the seams to show people this great new device. And by the way, a device that was him all throughout. That was his invention more than anybody else's. And he really loved that thing with good reason. And I encourage, as a matter of fact, I might add, we already have quite a list of links in the show notes. Go to justgettingbypodcast.com to see links for the show. I'm going to add that. I'm going to add some of his keynote presentations, and foremost will be the iPhone keynote.
I actually have a question for you about that. Does Apple have them on their website, or do you have to go onto YouTube to
find? Well, it's funny. I could include the iTunes link. Apple has a podcast feed called Apple Keynotes, and they have full edited and produced, but complete podcasts going back to at least the iPhone. I think going back to maybe the transition from PowerPC to Intel. That was Macworld 2005. So that's as far back as the Apple keynotes go. So, you know, I'm going to probably include links to the Macintosh unveiling in 1985. And the unveiling of the iPod in 2001. And those things are going to have to be YouTube. I'm probably going to stick with YouTube links all throughout, now that I think about it. Because iTunes links, you know, supposes that somebody, you know, is using iTunes. They might not. But no, Apple does include quite a few of those keynotes. It's not complete, however. You know, that's one of the things I can't wait to see. I'm sure somebody out there has high-quality recordings of past keynotes, and relatively old ones, like from the time he came back to Apple, from Macworld and WWDC and other product announcements in between from the late 90s. Some are easy to find on YouTube, some are not. I'd love to see them all compiled into an easy-to-digest format. But anyway, yeah, Apple does provide those, and for anybody that wants to see them in a high quality, go to the iTunes store under podcasts and just do a search for Apple keynotes. So, Chemslave, what do you think is going to be the impact on Apple going forward?
Well, truthfully, I don't think they're going to change that much because he created this whole cult around like his way of thinking that I don't think it will change that much for the next few years. Maybe several years out in the future, they might decide to change something. But he handpicked Tim Cook for his replacement as CEO, and I think he wouldn't have handpicked the guy if he didn't have some faith that he would keep his at least his way of his vision alive for the foreseeable future.
Exactly. I feel the exact same way. Now, however, there are going to be issues unrelated to the products themselves. such as how best to manage the media. Those Apple keynotes are among the most tightly produced pieces of showmanship in all of technology. They rehearse for days and for, you know, an entire workday, each and every day for like a week for these Apple keynotes. And with Steve Jobs not there, he was even advising Tim Cook about how to do the iPhone 4S announcement.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that came out. I forget where I saw that, but it was from a reliable source that he had, in his final days, he was still... he had limited contact to his family and high-level Apple executives. And, he was still telling Tim Cook, you should do it this way, you should do it that way. I mean, there was no repressing the man. There was no stopping him. You had to literally kill the man to stop him from doing great things.
So, I wouldn't be shocked if there is an afterlife. He wouldn't be going around saying, hey, there's an app for that.
Did you see that New Yorker cartoon?
Yes, that's what I'm referring to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I thought that was great, too. No, I agree with you. Overall, Apple, I don't think is going to change that much. They even have this thing called Apple University that Steve Jobs, in the mid-2000s, hired a Harvard business teacher to create a curriculum for mid- and high-level Apple executives to learn how to think like Steve Jobs.
What?
Yeah. Now, I'm sure that's not how it's phrased on campus. I'm sure it's how to think like Apple, how to make decisions in the Apple culture that has been so successful. But when they say that, you know what they're talking about. It's how to think like Steve. They have a whole curriculum. It's like a little mini university dedicated to teaching mid to high level executives how to think like Steve Jobs. And they're not the only company that does that, actually. Pixar, of course, that's another Steve Jobs company, but Pixar also has a university type program to instill in their executives the Pixar sense of how to do things. And other companies do this as well. But it sounds like Apple's is more...
One of these.
I'm sorry, what?
I would really love to be able to take one of these, like, classes.
Well, typical to Apple form, I'm sure it's going to be a strenuous thing. I'm sure it wouldn't be just a walk in the park. But yeah, it would be fascinating. Oh, hell, just being on the Apple campus, like, in an unrestricted manner would be fascinating. But yeah, Apple and Steve Jobs really tried their best to create a situation for Apple where for many years into the future, they can continue to have the same type of cohesive vision and the same attention to detail. But when you come down to it, there's no denying that Apple has lost a very important part of the component. It'll be a test. It'll be the ultimate test of Steve Jobs' managerial, occupation, his ability, to see if he can continue, even in death, to guide Apple. If Apple seems to be making different sorts of decisions, seems to be thinking different, no pun intended. I did intend that pun. If they seem to be going off the rails a little bit, that'll show that something has gone wrong. And no matter how good Steve Jobs was in life, he hadn't been able to account for Apple and death. But I'm with you. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Apple is going to continue to thrive and prosper and be among the most important companies on the planet, both in technology and without. So that being said, we're going to be wrapping up. We don't want to go too terribly long. I think Steve would want us to not focus on the past, but focus on the future and get out there creating the future and not worry so much about the past. And unfortunately, now Steve Jobs is the past. His vision will live on through the future. But before we hang this up, you know, entirely, I was just wondering, Kemsley, if you've probably read a lot of the coverage over the past week, did you read anything that stood out to you, like, as especially poignant, especially touching?
I watched two interviews with Wozniak. And truthfully, like, that was, like, really just, like, seeing him, like choke up and stuff, that was, like, really sad. Knowing, like, the guy's, like, close, like, really close friend is, like, just, like, seems to be, like, really, like, taken, like, really sad by this. It's, like, showing more the human side to the equation, not just the technology, the iPhone, the iPod, the Mac. Just showing the human connection, the whole thing really, like, shook me up.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. That was among the most touching. He was being interviewed just after hearing about it. He was at dinner with his wife. And seeing him wipe away those tears and getting choked up, that was powerful. Steve Wozniak, by the way, is just a class act. He might be one of the nicest people ever to walk the earth. Definitely didn't have the Steve Jobs hardness. Didn't have the ability to kick ass when he needed to. He never wanted to be an executive. He always wanted to just, you know, create things. He always left the firing and hiring and, you know, that stuff to Steve when he was at Apple. So it's so funny. They're very different people, but they had enormous respect for each other, and they had some tough times. We don't need to get into that today. But in the end, you know, Kemsley, I don't know if you recall this, but in 2010, I think it was WWDC 2010, when they released the iPhone. I could be wrong about that, but I think it's in 2010. They had a keynote, and Wozniak was in one of the front rows. And I don't believe this was planned. Steve Jobs was looking out into the audience, and he noticed that Wozniak was there. And so he had him stand up, and he said, "My partner in crime, ladies and gentlemen, Steve Wozniak." Or Woz, I forget how he called him. But he clapped for him, and he acknowledged him. These Apple keynotes are timed literally down to the second. Hell, I wouldn't be surprised if they had some way of timing it down to the nanosecond. Everything about that is scripted. And for Steve Jobs, that is, to have taken the time out of that keynote to have Woz stand up and you know, wave to the crowd and acknowledge him, that was something that he would have done for no other person. I'm convinced of it. And like I said, they had some tough times in the past, but towards the end, it was clear that they had really a great mutual respect and admiration and thankfulness to each other. Steve Jobs was always quick to say about how he had a fantastic partner in Steve Wozniak when they were building Apple. And I wasn't surprised to see Wozniak get choked up, but it was very, very touching. So I have to agree with you about that. You know, we have links. It's going to be quite a list by the time we're done thinking about this. But if you go to our show notes, justgettingbypodcast.com, we are going to have a collection of what we think were the best eulogies and retrospectives of Steve Jobs' life and career. M.G. Siegler, unsurprisingly, had a very nice one for TechCrunch. John Siracusa had a nice one we're going to add in there. And we'll add in some videos from different media campaigns. But the audio that you heard coming into this is not a normal audio. Steve Jobs recorded in 1998 a Think Different commercial. It was a very famous commercial about the geniuses in history. It was a voiceover, and you saw different people that did a lot of really great things. You saw Einstein and Amelia Earhart and Alfred Hitchcock and others that really made an impact. They thought different. Well, in the ad that was released on TV, Steve Jobs was not the one who narrated that. But when he died, I believe it was Mac Rumors released an unreleased cut of that Think Different campaign that had Steve Jobs narrating about, you know, 55 seconds of language, and it was very moving. Hearing his voice and telling you to think different. And that was what you heard coming into the show. And that's what we're going to leave you with going out. Possibly Steve's most succinct, but most important message: to think different.
Here's to the crazy ones. The misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human race forward. While some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.